Welcome to Get in the Herd, a podcast about addiction and recovery brought to you by the McShin Foundation. If you or a loved one are looking for real discussions about addiction, recovery, stigma, advocacy, and most importantly, hope, then stick around. Thanks for joining us. Now sit back and get ready for another great episode of Get in the Herd.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the McShin Foundation's award-winning podcast, Get in the Herd. I am your host slash producer, Justin Bognar. And to my left is a recent McShin alum slash participant, Patrick Jones. Patrick, how you doing?
To be honest, I've been better in my life, but I'm truly blessed. Glad to be back. You know, we had a little break in transmission, as you could say, and now I'm
a break in transmission.
Yeah, so
okay, all right, it happens.
Little slipsky.
For those of you who don't know, Patrick is a good friend of mine. We have been friends for a while now. I knew him from the first time I came through McShin, though I don't remember meeting him. I definitely knew him, and we definitely hung out. So that's what. You know, that's what that'll do to you. When I came back in the second time, he was my house leader in one of our houses. And then I became house leader in a different house, and he came over with me and became my assistant house leader. And then he moved out, and then not 2 months later, I moved out. And here both of us are. So yeah, Patrick, tell us, I mean, what happened? Tell us about McShin. Tell us
what it was like, what happened, and how it's like now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, thank you for having me on, Justin. Honestly, like, I love doing these podcasts.
Absolutely.
I'm always a nervous wreck when I first start. So I'm going to have a little nerves that I got to work out, but by the end of it, I'm sure, actually probably not even halfway through, I'll be more comfortable, but, so yeah, I came to McShin again for the I don't even know how many times I've been to McShin since 2017. I came for like a week. I went to another place. Came in 2018 while I was on bond. Stayed until I moved around the houses. I relapsed a couple times. Then once I was released from my 2 year sentence, I came in December 14th of 2020. And I stayed until about August, and that's what Justin was referring to, about when I moved out into my own apartment. During that time when I was at McShin, I was a house leader, I was a peer mentor, I was a transportation coordinator. Through house leadership, you know, I started getting some things back. You know, recovery is real nice once you start doing the work for it. You know, the car came back, the license, you know, I had a checking account, a savings account, some credit cards.
Did you have money in those checking and savings accounts?
I did, actually.
I still don't know what that's like.
A couple thousand dollars, which is, I mean, really, and that's something that I hadn't had before. So they say, you know, in recovery, you can take recovery wherever you want it. You know, and if you, it's all up to you. The sky's the limit in recovery, really.
That's honestly, I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's honestly one of my favorite things about being in recovery is I get a paycheck now, and it's not gone 2 days after I get it. I actually pay my bills. I can put food in the refrigerator. You know, I can take my girlfriend out to eat, stuff like that. It's pretty cool. It's
yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue.
No, I can attest to that. That was, you know, when you have some clean time and you do the things that are suggested of you, even if you know, don't really feel like doing them, you know, most of the time I didn't feel like doing them, but I mean, you know, I ran things by my sponsor. I'm a part of a 12-step fellowship that recommends that you get a sponsor. And I did that. I took that suggestion. One of the greater suggestions that I've taken, actually, I ran some things by him, and usually he would tell me, dude, that's a great idea. You know, very few times. I don't actually, maybe only once or twice. He's like, dude, what are you thinking? But, I think we have the same sponsor still. And you know, he's pretty liberal with his, recovery, but I mean,
quite liberal.
Yes. Quite liberal, actually. But, you know, one of my biggest goals was to get my son back, you know, custody of my son. And there was a couple prerequisites to that happening, you know, the license, the car, checking, savings. And then came the daunting task of moving out on my own, which brings us to where I am sitting right now as a participant again. You know, I thought I was, I actually really thought I was making the right move. You know, I ran it by my support network, my family. I actually can't remember if I ran it by Lane, but I think I did. And everybody told me it was a great idea. They actually told me I should move out by myself because, you know, you're taking on liability if you move out with another recovering addict. Cause you know, we're a squirrely bunch and I can, you know, I mean, myself, I'm a squirrely person, man. You know, I could be gung-ho one minute and off to the races the next. And there's just no telling what can be the trigger for that.
Right.
So there were, I will say this, that my story is filled with lies.
Lies.
I've said this probably at least 10 times over the last couple of days since I've been over the intensive house is, you know, if I tell you my knee hurts and you fix my elbow, my knee's still going to hurt, dude. Like, you know, you can only help me as much as I allow you to help me. So,
right.
There were a couple relapses that happened or maybe reoccurrences of use where I used one time and I didn't use for an entire month and I never let anybody know about it. And I thought I was getting away with it. So once I actually like moved out of the recovery residence, like I had this thought in my mind that I can get away with it every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out that was not true at all. You know, the one is too many and a thousand is never enough, is
as they say.
As they say, and it rings true. You know, I spent how you were talking about, it's nice that in recovery that we can put groceries in the refrigerator. We can go out to eat. You know, we have some liberties that we get back through the work that we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
know for me, one of the biggest things that keeps me clean, and this is, it's a very small thing, but to me it's huge. And it's I know that I can't give myself permission to do even one, to even take a sip, to, you know, take a hit, you know, anything. I can't give myself, because once I give myself permission to do that little tiny bit of whatever it may be, I've given myself permission to go off, you know, just kind of go off the rails.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, we're addicts, man. Like, you know, of course there's always that desire there, and that's something that you're always having to push, you know, push down and kind of fight back.
That will be normal one day.
Yeah. Yeah. One of these days, you know, like they say, you lose a desire to use. And I'm still waiting on that. You know, but right now it's more important to live a clean daily life, you know, than it is to try to chase feelings, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it makes absolute sense. It is something that I've struggled with. And, you know, like I said, I've been coming to McShin since 2017. It's something I've struggled with since 2017, since my first venture into recovery, is that one day, you know, X amount of time in recovery is going to equal X amount of drugs that I can put into my system. And like, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. Like I've tried many of times. Like I think between 2017 and now, I may have, whether you like to call it reoccurrence of use or relapse or whatever, you know, I put drugs in my body thinking that I could be normal and successfully use again, at least 10 times. Mm-hmm. I want to say.
Yeah.
You know, I accrued some substantial clean time this time that I threw away. And it just solidifies the fact that it doesn't matter how much clean time I have.
Right.
I will never be able to successfully use a mind or mood altering substance.
I remember a while back, when we went out to eat with our sponsor, and he had undergone a procedure where he had gotten some medication. And he took it as prescribed. And then one day he took one more. And I remember him telling us, and then he flushed the rest. And I remember him telling us that he didn't think it was a good thing either way, because he said that taught me two things. That taught me that, you know, the desire is still there. You know, but it also taught me that I can successfully use.
Yeah. I remember that very vividly.
Yeah. And that kind of scared the crap out of me, honestly.
Yeah. Well, at that point I had already gotten away with one. So, it scared me, but I thought he was wrong.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, you know, I had to prove him wrong, or, I had to prove him right, rather. That the most dangerous one is the one that you get away with, or at least thought you did.
Right.
You know, I used one time and I didn't use for an entire month. And that just told me, dude, you're not an addict anymore.
Right.
You've been wasting your time and money and your parents' money and, you know, coming to all these recovery residences and going to a clinical rehab all the way across the country in Las Vegas. I mean, all the money just that I could have spent on drugs or, you know, bought nice things or whatever. Like, you're not an addict anymore, dude. What are you doing? Why are you even here anymore? Move out. So
you're not an addict anymore.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it was a very, very hard lesson that I had to learn.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. It is embarrassing.
I could see that. I felt a little bit of that, you know, when I came back. But what was, honestly, it was more embarrassing for me going back to Tucker's when I did. Because when I went through that experience the first time, I told myself that I was never, ever going to do that ever again.
Yeah.
And I was so confident in myself, and I was just like, you know, regardless of if I, you know, pick up again, or regardless of what happens, you know, if I need to break a habit, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to do it on my own. And that's not possible. It's just not the case.
It didn't work for me either. I tried to detox myself while I was in that apartment.
I remember I stopped using for like 2 weeks, and I thought, I got this. I'm good. And then I got one more, and that was it.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I came back here this time, a lot of the old staff that was here last time was gone, so I didn't really have to face any of them.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a relief. But B, I felt more of a sense of relief than anything else.
Yeah.
Because I had completely given up. I had lost all hope of being able to, you know, stop using, all hope of being able to be a quote unquote normal person. I just didn't care anymore. You know, and my poor girlfriend, man, I feel so bad for her, because she had to go through hell, you know. I mean, she had to deal with basically watching me fall apart and just wither up into nothing.
Yeah.
And that's, I can't imagine what that did to her. You know, I'm surprised, you know, that she even still wants a relationship with me, to be honest. You know, but thankfully she does. And you know, we're doing okay. You know, things are a lot different now that, you know, now that I'm not using anymore. You know, I'm very grateful to her that she, you know, kind of stuck with me through all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it's like they say, we hurt the ones we love the most.
Yeah.
I say that all the time because holy shit, is it true?
Oh, man.
It's absolutely true.
It's sadly true.
You know, we think we're suffering. We think we're hurting when we're, you know, when our addiction becomes a need and not a desire anymore.
Right.
You know, we think we're in such hell, and it's just like we don't stop to think about what it's doing to the people around us. You know, they're having to watch someone that they love and care about and have invested time and energy into just completely give up and fall apart.
Yeah.
And that's got to be heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't envy. I mean, honestly, if somebody gave me the choice to be the parent or lover or whatever of an addict, or to be the actual addict himself, mm-hmm. I'd choose to be the addict every single time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Every single time.
I mean, I know my mom, I have a great support network, and I have no idea how they're still in my corner. I mean, you know, I couldn't say that I would be there for me, to be honest, with the amount of relapse that I've had, you know. But they've been in my corner the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially this time, handled with grace. Good gosh. I mean, she cleaned out my apartment. She paid my car note. I mean, it was like, we're proud of you for giving up, for like saying that you have a problem and coming back and like having some humility, and you're fixing the problem. So like, look at all the stuff that you accomplished through that 2 years that you had clean, and you can get all that stuff back. But granted, like, this relapse only lasted about 2 months, so I didn't really lose a whole lot except for a whole lot of money. Good God. You can spend a lot of money in 2 months, dude.
A lot of money and a whole lot of weight.
Woo! Yeah, 25 pounds in 2 months. Good gosh, dude. If you want to, I'm not going to recommend that weight loss plan, but
that is a horrible weight loss plan.
It's a bad one.
I tried a similar one, and worked real well.
Yeah, it actually is all just atrophy of muscle, because like the first day I got back, I know a lot of people that are incarcerated right now are listening to this, so you don't really have a general picture of what the campus is like, but the intensive house is about 100 yards across the parking lot,
something like that,
like a football field
about a football field,
right? So in the morning we have to walk over here, and I couldn't walk. I mean, it was a struggle to walk across the parking lot to the campus in the church. I mean, I was out of breath. I couldn't carry my own body weight. So, I mean, that 25 pounds came whole of muscle. I mean, I was 185 pounds, and I wasn't in the gym as regularly as I'd like to, but I was pretty strong, mm-hmm. you know.
You could push some weight. I do remember that.
Yeah. I mean, I kept up with them, you know, but man, it's just, and then we're just talking about the physical there. I mean, you talk about the spiritual, the emotional, all the other tolls that happen throughout the body, man. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
I gave up so much. I mean, I was making real leeway with my son and his caregiver, and I haven't even talked to him since. Yeah, I don't even. It's scary, man. I don't know. I'll be honest. I mean, I'll share some real emotion with you, man. I'm fucking terrified. Excuse my language. I am terrified. I am absolutely terrified, because I don't know how it's going to be, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll breach that subject eventually. I'm 2 days removed from my detox meds, to be honest. I'm sweating.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to get physically back.
You got to get yourself back before you cross bridges like that.
Yeah, man. Exactly.
But you'll get there, man. I have faith in you. You're a strong dude, and as long as you don't try to keep doing things your way.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm famous for it, dude.
Yeah, you are. you are. Patrick Jones is going to do what Patrick Jones wants to do.
Oh, yeah. With house leadership, too, dude. I'm going to run this house. This is my house. You put me in charge of this house. This house is going to run how Pat wants to run.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I'm famous for it.
That's kind of how I was when I got back to Chamberlain.
Yeah.
You know, kind of kicked the door in a little bit. I was like, all right, daddy's home. What's up?
You came in quite hot.
Quite hot.
Yeah. Yes. I was all for it, though. That's my style, too. It's like, look, I'm going to come in strong, and I'm going to ease off a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll kind of, if I hurt some feelings, I can make amends later.
Right? Yeah.
But, I I don't know. I obviously there was some success because I mean I did accrue some clean time, but like so I gotta remember that I've done it before, and I can do it again. And this time it doesn't have to stop at 2 years. Like it the like I said in the very beginning of this, like the potential for recovery is never ending. Like it can right. go at just as high as I want it to go, or it can go nowhere. I could literally have 20 years clean and no recovery.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true. That's true.
But I'm not invested in that. Like that's not what I got clean for. I used to say it all the time is like, I didn't get clean so that I could live a life to be in a bubble and to go to meetings all the time and to like work step work all the time and avoid places and people and things and stuff like that. No, I got clean so that I could liberate myself and live the best life that I possibly could. Mm-hmm. Right. That's contingent upon the work that I do though.
Right.
I stopped doing the work. You know, I'm very strong in my faith. I stopped picking up my Bible. I stopped going to the church that I joined. I stopped coming around the recovery community that I got clean and became a staff member at. Like, I stopped literally doing all of the things that they tell you to do. It's like it wasn't for me anymore. I didn't need it. You know, I look at me. I got this clean time. Screw you guys. I don't need you anymore. Like,
that's how I felt at 6 months the first time I came around.
Yeah,
6 months hit, and I was just like, psh.
Yeah.
I got this. I'm recovered.
Yeah.
I'm totally recovered, period.
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah. We have, and Joe J, man, thank you for what you said. I see your comment. I don't know what you say. I just see your name over there, man. You got me thinking. We do. We have.
He said, wow.
Wow.
Okay. Unbelievable.
Of course. Anyway.
Of course.
He got me thinking. We talked outside of a meeting the other night, and he said, we have a daily reprieve, man, and you have to do the work, and it's contingent upon the work that you do.
It is, you know. And that's the thing. We've, you know, I think both of us at first, we start off strong. Well, a lot of people in recovery, I'll generalize it, which is something I don't normally do. So, you know, I'm all about, well, me personally.
Yeah,
but generally speaking, you know, when you first get into it, you embrace it, you know, you take on this because you see other people that have been in recovery for a few months and they're just smiles are on their faces and they look healthy and, you know, they sometimes have money in their pocket, you know, they're getting things back and you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, if all it takes is being clean and, you know, putting in some work, like, let's do this. Like,
what do they say about social acceptance though?
What
do they say about like social acceptance?
Oh, I have no idea.
It does not equal recovery.
Oh
yeah.
Well, you know more than I do.
Well,
when it comes to that,
I have experience with that. You know, I was talking about it earlier.
Well, I'm speaking more on like seeing it from like the more
physical.
Well, the more like I want that.
Okay.
You know, like I know when I first came into recovery, I was an absolute wreck. Like the first time I came in, and I didn't know what recovery was. I didn't know that I was actually getting into recovery. Because it's funny. When I came back, I was living in, Atlanta, and, I had developed a pretty serious meth habit. And you know, when I came back, you know, detoxing off of meth it's not the worst thing in the world. Not nearly as bad as an opiate detox. You know, there's obviously lack of energy. There's the lack of motivation, but you can get past that. It's the sadness and the depression that you just, ugh, like it's horrifying, you know? You just, the thoughts that go through your head, it's really, really bad. Yeah. And I didn't know, I thought that was just how it was going to be. And I had come back and I was staying with my parents, after I got out of Tucker's the first time. I thought I was going to be able to just stay there, you know, for a little while, a couple months maybe. And, when I got out of Tucker's, my dad picked me up and I said, can I stay with you guys? He said, for a week.
What?
I was like, a week? Like I was planning on sleeping for a week.
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do in a week. And so I called our friendly neighborhood sponsor, because we were friends back then too. And I said, dude, what do I do? Like, can you help me? Cause he was like one of the only people that, you know, I knew, well, not knew, but that I stayed in contact with regularly.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to get you squared away. I'm going to get you set up. And I was like, dude, I've got a week. And I didn't know what to do because I had no contacts here. Right. You know, I had no money. I had no job. I had, you know,
pure panic mode,
and pure panic mode while detoxing at mommy and daddy's house.
Couldn't even imagine.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
The absolute worst.
You've described a nightmare.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, you've got to help me. I was like, please just, and I called him multiple times a day and he was just like, dude, calm down. I got you.
Easy does it.
He picks me up. Cause he was like, look, I want to take you somewhere. And I think it's going to really benefit you. I think it's going to change your life. And I just want you to trust me and come with me. And I was like, I don't know if I want to go anywhere. I don't know if I want to do anything. He was like, just come with me. It was freezing cold outside. I was like, all right, whatever. So he comes and picks me up and he takes me to an NA meeting.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of NA or anything like that. Well, we sat through this meeting and I was just like, what are these people doing? Like, this is a cult. Like, this
automatically
is
disqualify yourself.
Yeah. Automatically just like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this.
I can totally resonate with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, they started talking about God and, you know, regardless of what your belief system is, talking about God is not something that I do regularly, you know,
not at all,
at all. And that's okay. You know?
Yeah.
But he said, after the meeting, he said, look, here's what I did. I want you to do the same thing. And I didn't know that recovery organizations existed.
Yeah.
Didn't know they were a thing. And he was like, go here, talk to Bob. And I was like, all right. So I come here and I go in to the back entrance, because that's where it says the entrance is. And I go in and I go downstairs and I'm walking up the hallway and I'm just like, where am I? I'm in the basement of an old church. Where's Bob? Who the hell is Bob? Like, he didn't even give me a last name. He was just like, Bob, just go talk to Bob. It's like,
everybody knows Bob.
Everybody. Yeah. So the first person I saw, and I forget who it was, I was like, where's Bob? And I thought the guy was going to be like, get out of the church now. Leave or I'm calling security. So, and I forget who it was, but they were like, oh, Bob's office is right there. And I was just like, holy shit, I'm about to see Bob. This is awesome. I found him.
Yeah.
So I go in there and, you know, I talked to Bob and he was just like, all right, so who are you? What are you doing? What do you want?
Yeah.
Told him the whole story. And, you know, I mentioned names. He was like, all right. And he was like, well, are you ready to come like right now? And I was just like,
what do you mean right now?
No. Like, I'll come back, but I'm going to spend the night at my parents' house. Like, and this was like 2 days before the week was up. So I was like, no, I'm going to
still got time.
Yeah. I've still got time to like think about this. And he was just like, no, you should just stay. You know, we'll get you put into a house, into a bed and all that stuff. And I was like, I don't have any things. I don't have groceries. I don't have my clothes. I don't have anything. He was like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He was like, just, you know, just trust me. And I was just like, absolutely not.
Wait, what? Trust. Yeah, you want to talk about
you
trust.
You want me to trust you. Sweet.
Okay.
And I was like, I met you like an hour ago.
Yeah.
So no. And he was like, all right, dude. He was like, look, I'm going to give you my card. Go do what you got to do. Please call me in the morning. I was like, all right, dude, calm down. Easy, you know?
Yeah.
So I got excited because I was just like, did I just find a place to live? Like, did this just happen? So I called him the next day and he answers. And I was like, guess I'm ready to come, you know? And he was like, okay. You know, bring what you want, bring your clothes. You know, if you have any food or anything like that, bring it all and we'll get you squared away. Well, I showed up at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Good gosh.
Which means I had to sit in groups.
Yeah.
All day.
Groups.
Yeah. And the groups are very beneficial, I didn't know that I was getting into that.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be able to come in, go to a bed, cook some food, eat, and lay down.
Oh, yeah. All the TV time.
Nope. No.
Yeah.
It was groups, you know, and then an NA meeting, and then more groups, and then go home.
Yeah.
And that was to ye old Chamberlain. And but yeah, man, like that was my first and I didn't know what I had found. I didn't know what had been found for me, I should say. But that was kind of like my first introduction to like recovery. And I was like, I was thinking I was going to go to this house and it was just going to be a bunch of people like sitting around, like drinking beer, smoking weed, stuff like that. But, you know, they were all like eating food and like doing normal things that, you know,
reading books, playing instruments, mostly guitar.
Yeah.
Like, there's always
yeah.
the guitar guy. Right?
Yeah. There's always the guitar guy.
Right.
Yeah, I was just like, what is this? And they were like, it was kind of explained to me that I had just found a recovery community, you know?
Yeah.
And
when at the time too, that recovery community was not really a patent word.
Like, yeah.
This
yeah.
is still a new concept at this
yeah.
point. I remember that. It's a unicorn situation really. Like these kind of things just don't happen. Like it, I don't know. I like to say that my higher power leads me to these kind of places. I know we have, you know, a little bit of different views on that kind of thing, but
I'm still wrapping my head around the higher power situation.
I got
but
you.
I think I've got it
cool
figured yeah. out.
It's yeah. well, it says what as we understand it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That part is always like in italics, so it means that like it's more important than the rest of the sentence, right? So like as we understand it, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's a personal relationship. But like, I didn't mean to cut you off either.
Gosh.
But I know I'm a
all right, just leave.
Yeah. All right, bye. No, I mean, I had a similar in a way situation, like the first time that I found this place. Me and the mother of my child were living together. We were using with our son in the house, and she OD'd. I at this point, like I was new to using really, like, you know, we had been using heroin for probably like about a year, but like I had a small circle,
mm-hmm.
like the person that I was buying from was usually really reliable. So I never really needed to go anywhere else. So like
right.
it was work, go to guy, go home. So I had no idea what Narcan was at that point. I don't even know if Narcan back in 2017, if it was widely even available at that point.
Oh, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
But I just found out something really cool that I did not know. If you are and this is according to my girlfriend, which I trust, if you are prescribed an opiate painkiller
mm-hmm.
In the hospital, like by a doctor or anything like that, when you get it in the pharmacy, they will give you a free thing of Narcan with it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
That's amazing.
I just found that out yesterday. We were talking about it last night.
I mean,
anyways, continue.
Yeah. I mean, Narcan, miracle drug, by the way, I've been brought back. If it were not a thing, I would be dead right now. So, I mean, these, she ODs, I have no idea what to do because this is the first time I've ever seen anybody OD. And, you know, she starts turning purple. I'm freaking out. You know, the guy that we're using with, which is a good friend of ours and a coworker, he like gathers up all the things and runs out of the house. I'm just like, oh, now what do I do? Like, I guess I have to call 911. She's literally like dying right now in front of me. So I drag her outside. And like, I lock the door, my son's still inside and he's crying. And like, it's just this crazy traumatic situation that we just went through. And luckily, you know, the fourth Narcan shot, they bring her back to life. She takes this huge breath, just to, I'll never forget the sound of it. And So she goes to the hospital. I've been blah, blah, blah. I get her out of the hospital. So the next morning, my mom, her older sister, and like a bunch of our family show up to our apartment. And they're like, you guys are going to rehab. Pack your things.
Pack your things. You're going right now.
So I don't have insurance at this point. She has insurance at this point. Like I'm just like grown out of the statute of limitations on my dad's insurance. So like I'm, God knows I don't have money at that point to pay for insurance. Right. So, we find a place here in Virginia and, my mom makes a bunch of phone calls. She gets shipped off to I think she went to Dallas, Texas to an American Addiction Center out there. And yeah, they're like, well, you're going to this place called McShin. I'm like, well, that's a weird name. Like, that sounds absolutely terrible. Like, I'm right. already judging it. They literally
that
have
sounds
said
awful.
Yeah, they literally say you're going to a place called McShin. And I'm just like, well, that sounds like the worst place on earth. And
I don't ever want to do that.
Yeah. I don't even know what it is at this point. It's just they pitch a name.
What kind of Irish place is this?
Yeah, exactly. Is that like so I go and I come in and I meet the intake coordinator, which was Paxton at that point. And like, we sit down and Paxton's like, well, you look like you've seen a ghost. And it's like, I did actually. She's sitting right next to me. Cause at this point, like my son's mother, like hasn't been shipped out yet. She's waiting for a plane to get there. So she's like making sure that I actually am going to go to rehab because she's like, I'm not going to rehab unless you're going to rehab. And then, you know, I'm like, well, I'm not going unless you're going. Like, so
we can go holding hands.
Oh, he almost did. Cause, a week later, and I'll actually get there too. But, you know, Paxton looks at us and he's just like, you guys have seen a ghost. And he was like, yeah, I have. She was dead.
Mm-hmm.
12 hours ago. She was dead.
Paxton, I remember Paxton.
Yeah. so we get me checked in and they're like, well, you need groceries, you need this, you need that. And it's like the first time in a long time that anybody's asked me what I needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for like, you know, how much are you going to buy? How much money do you have?
Yeah.
Like that's the only time I've ever been asked that. And like, you know, my parents are asking me, well, you have underwear, you got socks, like you need all these things. And I'm overwhelmed at this point because like
right.
The concept of love when I'm out there using it is such a foreign thing. You know, it's all about the next one and feeling better, especially because mm-hmm. my drug of choice is opiates. And like, you know, it's all about feeling.
Oh yeah.
It's literally. Oh,
yeah. Or lack thereof.
Yeah. Or yeah, exactly. A perfect example. Yeah. As you know, I don't want to feel. That's and when I'm not, if I'm not feeling, I'm feeling a horrible.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the goal, is to not feel. But so I knew this place was here. Shit, like I said, my girl got shipped off to she got shipped off to an American Addiction Center, and you know, I'm keeping in contact with her older sister, who's keeping in contact with her. You know, making sure that everything's fine out there. And she's telling me about all these services that she's getting as far as like a clinician, and like she's on these medicines and her detox going great. And here I am in McShin, and like, I'm not really, and you do get those things at McShin. And I will say that you do get a clinician, like you get the attention that you need. But mm-hmm. at this point, I'm looking for any and every excuse to get everything that I can out of the situation. I am addicting the heck out of the situation, right?
Right.
So I need to be sent to an American Addiction Center too. So I get on the phone with this intake coordinator who's going to decide where I'm going to go. And he's like, well, we have this great place out in Dallas, Texas. And I'm like, my girl's in Dallas, Texas. She's in Texas. Okay. We're going to do this. All right. Yeah. I'm going to go there and I'm going to show up and we're going to be together. We're going to live in Texas from now on.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then trot off into the sunset happily ever after. Right. So, something clicked though. I sat there for a second and I was like, well, I don't know. My girl's in rehab there. He's like, oh my God. Well, I'm so glad you told me that, because that would have been a huge conflict of interest and I could have gotten in trouble. And we have another one that's out in Vegas and we'll send you out there. And I'm like, Vegas? Heck yeah, dude. Okay. So I'm kind of digressing, but so I go to Vegas and I come back and I use and I I use after a couple months of being back in town, because I moved into the exact same situation that I left. I knew this place was here, and that was the main, that was the point that I was trying to make, is I knew that this place that gave me such love off the bat, where I was, it, love was such a foreign concept, and I knew it was here. So like, I get locked up and I'm calling on the jail phone and I'm just praying that, you know, and you have a call from Patrick Jones. And I'm like praying that they answer, and they finally answer. I'm like, God, just get me out of this place. I'll go anywhere. Bring me back to McShin. And they didn't actually send me to McShin at first. I went over to the Salvation Army for a while, and I'll be honest. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. I addict the crap out of y'all. I'm a manipulator. I'm working on it. But I told them that McShin was way better than the Salvation Army. And they honestly, I do believe that. No offense, Salvation Army. You guys do amazing work if you are watching this. But anyway, I like comfort. And I don't like working a whole lot either, but it's one of your things when you're in the Salvation Army. They kind of make you work as part of your therapy, which is a good thing, honestly. Yeah.
It can be.
Yeah. But so long story short, I go to McShin and I stay not the entire time. That's a lie. I stayed about 6 months out of the year bond that I was on. And the things, like you said, man, the light started coming back on, the weight started coming back. I started gaining friends, and like, you know, that experience I had back in 2017, though it was short and it was only a week, it was the prerequisite for me knowing that this place was here. Like, and this place has been my home more than any other place has been for years now. I mean, you know, that attempt that I just had to move out to an apartment was the first time that I actually was going to live away from McShin, with the exception, like the attempt to move out clean, at least, you know, when
did someone just get shot?
I don't know what that was. Did somebody try to come in, or?
I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You know how it goes. There's a couple new people.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know where I was going with it. I just trying to. No. It's all good. I just, you know, this place is here. It's amazing. You know, if you're listening to this in jail, you know, I've said it before, but even before, I've been on this podcast a couple times before I moved out. And you know, if you're sitting there in a jail cell, I've been there before. I just did 2 years. I was released in December. I reported on January 4th of 2019. I was released December 14th of 2020. So I did just shy of 2 years. This place is here. This place does care. It is an amazing place. So
same day access.
Same day. That's right. Bed to bed.
Yep. One of the only, if not the only place where if you're looking for recovery, you can come in, and literally be what do they say? Intake, I guess. Same day intake, whatever.
Yeah.
And most places are, you know, come back in 24 hours or 72 hours.
Some places, they don't let you detox there. You have to go to a detox and come back. Like, and, you know, this place partners with a doctor, I've seen a couple times. Actually, I had to see him this time when I came back, and he's like, dude, I haven't seen you since like 2018.
Yep.
Have you been clean since then? Like, not really, but you know,
right?
He's like, holy shit, you got like 2 years clean time though, dude. Like this is a major accomplishment, dude. Like I'm sure, hopefully you didn't like squander all that you gained back. You know, I was like, I spent a lot of money. That's about
you can come in with no money.
Yeah,
and you can get a scholarship. Of course, those scholarships are not free.
Yeah,
they do cost money.
They do. They absolutely do. And to our board, you know, there's a lot of advocacy work that those scholarships come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do a lot of fundraising. We do a lot of work in the community to get the name out there so that, we can heal lives and save families, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So here's the question. Now that you're here, now that you're back, now that you've been out there for a couple of months, and you've seen how incredibly awesome it is out there.
Yeah, it's great.
What is Patrick going to do different?
I'm not going to say everything because there was
no, yeah, you won't do everything different.
Yeah. I did a lot of things that worked. There were the main thing that I can really, or there's a couple things really, the 12 step fellowship that I'm a part of, the first three steps, or the, how it works rather, is honesty. That what it stands for is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, right? I've always been open-minded. Like, I'm a curious person by nature, right? That's never been a problem for me. Willingness, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, dude. Like, if you tell me that this is going to benefit me in whatever way possible, like, I'm willing to do whatever, right? Honesty. Half-truths availed with nothing.
Agreed. Agreed.
I maybe swerved left when I should have swerved right, you know? I wasn't completely truthful, and you know, nobody can help you unless you're 100% truthful. So, right. That would be, if I had to highlight the main thing, that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of like, there's a lot of daily work, like I was saying before, like, you know, like when I was, when I got that 2 years, I opened my Bible every single day. I read, I studied, I highlighted, I did, you know, Bible studies and all that kind of stuff. I stopped doing that. The Bible got further and further down into the underwear drawer. I picked up basic text, you know, on a not on a daily basis, but yeah, it probably a weekly basis would be a safe bet to say.
Right.
I went to meetings at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped doing that. I stopped doing, you know, the stuff that got me to the point where I was at, I stopped doing it. You know, I thought, yeah, I was fine.
Yeah.
Social acceptance does not equal recovery.
True.
True. I was getting the car back, like I said, the credit cards and all the, you know, all these like material things, which, trust me, felt great.
Oh yeah, they feel wonderful.
Yeah. But I was sick inside, and the more I accrued those things and the less I did the things that got me clean, the more I solidified the fact that I could get away with one.
Right.
And then once I did that one and nobody found out and I didn't use for an entire month, like, yeah, all bets were off at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a matter of time. And it's crazy, actually. I went through, I'm a big writer, mm-hmm, as far as like, I'm a huge fan of journaling. I journaled almost every day that I was locked up. And even when I got out, like, I continued to try to, at least,
mm-hmm,
you know, life does happen. And I, you know, I get tired, and sometimes I just won't crash out when I get back home.
Right.
Especially when you work a restaurant job and it's, you know, 2:30 at night and I'm just getting home. I'm not writing in that journal. Right.
Right. Right.
So, I looked back at my old journal, and it was right after, I think it wasn't after the first use, but it was after like the second or third where I had like got away with one. Right. And I like wrote in there, dude, you're slipping, you're falling off the cliff right now, and there's nothing there to catch you. And you're going to continue to fall if you continue to do what you're doing right now. And like, I wrote myself this warning in this notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought chills to my spine when I read it the other day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all I had to do, the crazy part about that is like, I could have came to you, like you said, like, you're one of my best friends, dude. I could have came to you and been like, dude, I fucked up. I messed up. I used, like, and I don't know, I don't want to give away my clean date because there's a whole lot of prestige that comes with it, even though we're not supposed to. Right. But like, I'm so scared and I'm afraid, and it would have been fine. You probably would have just been like, dude, it's okay. Like, it's fine.
You're never going to catch any judgment from me.
Right. And I mean,
and that's the thing about the, you know,
and it's not just you either. I have so many friends at this place, and my sponsor and my network. And like, I could have told my parents, and they still like, but it's that shame and that, mm-hmm, that like, you know, I've told so many people that I'm an addict for such a long time. And now, like, if I tell them that I'm not an addict and I can use successfully, right? Like, what?
I mean, we're sick people, dude.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to, you know? And you know, we manipulate other people and we do things that we're not proud of, but one of the people that we manipulate is ourselves
more than anybody else.
You know, yeah. We manipulate the shit out of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we tell ourselves we have everything under control. You know, I can do this. I'm okay. You know, it's just one, you know, it's no big deal. It's nah, that shit.
I will say this. It didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
It was a slow, progressive, insidious thing mm-hmm. where it snuck its way in, and it wasn't like I said, dude. Like it first went the Bible, then went the church, then went the basic text, then went the notebook, then went the honesty. Like, and then like it was like this slow decline, and I saw it happening, and I thought I was all right.
Shit, I remember when I first relapsed, I was sitting in my bed, and I was kind of laying there, and I was completely bored out of my mind. And I was just like, I'm going to go get high.
Yeah.
And I got up and I went and got high.
That's exactly how it happened for me.
Yeah.
I was driving home from my job, and I had an exceptionally good night. So I mean, yeah. I had a good amount of cash in my pocket. I think I hadn't gone to the bank for a couple of days.
Either, danger, so. Danger.
Right, right. Well, I mean, cash has never really been a huge trigger for me. It was, yeah. It was more of the slow decline into, you know, I think I could get away with it. Yeah, it'd be all right. So instead of freaking taking the Chamberlain exit and like coming home, right? I was like, I'm just going to drive down to Gilpin. Like, it's fine. I'm just going to go say hi to my old buddy that I, you know, used to buy drugs from. And like, you know, it's the dude loves me. He treats me like a brother. So like, yeah. I'm just going to go say hi and maybe smoke like a 20 rock or something like that. But that'll be it, right?
That'll be it. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't work out that way.
And now
here I am, sweaty as all. Yeah. It's bad. Detox is no fun, y'all. Luckily, I'm almost all the way through it. So I was actually able to do. I woke up this morning and I did some pull ups on that bar that's outside.
Did you?
Yeah.
How many?
Nine.
Very nice. Very nice.
Granted, I'm 25 pounds lighter, so there's a lot less to pull up. But I did try to – yesterday I did some push-ups. That was depressing. I think
– Dude, that's what I did when I got to Tucker's the second time. The first day I was there, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to get my physique back. I'm going to get my build back. And I did 10 push-ups, 10 sit-ups, and 10 squats every single day. Well, the 7 days that I was there.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I got here, you know, I started hitting the gym real hard.
Yeah.
And I've actually, I just reached a goal not too long ago of 200 pounds.
Right on, man.
Yeah. I've never weighed that much before. And I've always wanted to weigh 200 pounds. And now I'm consistently 200 pounds.
Right on. Yeah. I remember us going to the gym, man. Yeah. We jump on that scale every time. You know. Yeah. I was trying to lose weight at that point. Like, yeah. I guess I lost it. Not in the right way.
actually you lost it.
I am at my target weight. Now, if I could just like replace, like, cause I'm like, it's this weird flabbiness. Like we're like, yeah, I'm at this weight that I want to be at, but like the muscle structure is all but atrophied away.
Yeah.
So like it's weird.
You'll get back, man. Get back.
I definitely will.
Baby steps, man. One thing at a time. One day at a time.
Yes. That is a major, major thing for me is because and anybody that maybe has had some clean time and had the humility to come back, like, I want my 2 years back. I want them back. But the reality.
So get it.
Yeah. Well, the reality of the situation is that I'm going to have to do that day by day.
Yeah.
And it's going to take 2 years to get the 2 years
5 minutes
back.
At a time.
Right.
You know,
and now that like I'm actually like detoxed too, like if anybody's going through a detox in jail, like I did it. I don't know if it's easier or harder. I honestly think it's easier because like those doors are locked and you know, you can't really go get none. Cause that was one of the hardest parts about this detox is like, I got clean in Richmond because it was an unfamiliar territory. Like at that point, when that whole OD happened, the first time I came, we were living in Fredericksburg. And I never really messed around with Richmond. So this place was completely foreign. Now I started to use in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
So like my dude's 5 minutes that way.
Right.
So like I'm sitting over at Scott's house puking my brains out, like just trying to get in the warm shower so that I can stop with the cold sweats or whatever, knowing that my guy is 5 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
And all I have to do is leave and you know, but I want something different.
That's exactly why I detoxed at Tucker's.
Yeah.
Cause I knew that once I checked myself in, they were going to keep me there. I was not going to leave.
Yeah.
And that honestly did make it easier. Cause I was just like, well, you know, this is it. Now I have no choice.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I've heard nightmare stories about that. I've never been.
They're so. All true.
Yeah.
That place sucks.
I don't doubt it. It sounds like a nightmare, which is why, like, when I came in this time, and I came in, I think I came in on Sunday, and I was high. I mean, and Joyce, the intake coordinator here, she asked me to. She's like, when was the last time you used? I was like, 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, what do you want to do? I was like, I'm going to come back. She's like, well, okay. Are you going to sign up? I'm like, yeah, I'm coming back tomorrow. I want some dope sick. Because I'm not gonna be high around all these guys. Like, and
yeah,
you know, it was half for the right reasons, half for the right wrong reasons, you know. My last use I used, and I was supposed to go to work. God, I hope my job doesn't see this. Anyway, it's fine. I don't give a shit. It is what it is. I plan on being honest with them, honestly. My boss has been super, super supportive. When I was hired there, I told him I was an addict in recovery and all that. So, I instead of went to work, I came here. I was supposed to go there, and I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired, dude. Mm-hmm. Every single day I was going to work, and I was making great money, like $100, $200, $300 in cash some nights.
Gone.
Like, yeah, and it didn't matter how much I made. And, I mean, back in 2017, you couldn't have told me I was an addict. I had a money problem,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, if I could get enough dollars in my pocket, then I would never be sick ever again. That was right. My problem, is that I was sick, you know? Not that I had a dope problem. It was that I didn't have enough dope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a testament to that, dude. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It's going to run out eventually, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it finally came to a head where I was just like, I can go to work tonight. I know I'm losing the apartment. That was a fact. I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lose it. I'm either going to get evicted or they're going to escort me out of there, like
right,
by
right.
police. I was just sick and tired of it, you know? And once you get this recovery stuff in you, like, it's in you.
Yeah.
You know how good it is.
We're almost at an hour, buddy.
Went by quick, to be honest.
It did go by quick. Went by very quick. Normally with these, I'm trying to figure out how to take up time.
Right.
Because I don't normally host. And
yeah.
What I will say, though, is like anybody out there watching who wants help, come to McShane, get yourself some help. I'm going to put the
I'll be here.
Phone number and address on the bottom of the screen there. Give us a call, go to the website, or just come in the door.
Yeah, you know, just show up.
You'll get taken care of. I can promise you that. You will get taken care of. If not by us, then we will find someone who will take care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you will not be turned away.
Don't put that off. Because people are dying, you know. People are dying more so than ever these days.
Yeah. I will tell you that there's no more heroin out there. It's just literally all synthetics and fentanyl, carfentanil. And it's just not the same anymore, honestly. They're putting it in marijuana. They're putting it in
cocaine.
That's
crazy. They're putting it in weed?
Yeah. And
come on.
It's scary because I'm honestly, like, I'm a marijuana advocate, to be honest. Like, I lived in Colorado, and I grew weed medicinally out there, and I've seen some miracles. You know,
yeah,
I had a guy that had seizures. He had over 100 seizures a day unless he was smoking weed.
Right.
And he was actually like a productive member of society if he could get marijuana in his system. So like, I'm a huge advocate of it. And that just, I mean, that you want to talk about something that makes me actually like angry.
Yeah.
Like actually fumingly angry.
Yeah.
Is that some Chinese product that's being made over there is being put in something that is a life-saving tool.
Yeah.
Even for people in recovery, maybe that's not your pathway. And maybe, you know, that's not mine right now. It may not be ever. I don't know what it'll be, but like I think of marijuana as a tool, and you're putting something that's killing people in that. Like,
yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
okay, yeah, I could talk for more, so let's stop.
All right. Thank you everybody for watching. Patrick, welcome back, man.
Glad to be back.
I'll stick and stay this time.
Yeah.
That's what I plan on doing. Yeah. All right. Let's see. I don't have the flyer up for tomorrow. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. Tomorrow is Wednesday, so I believe it is going to be Joyce hosting tomorrow, which Joyce hasn't hosted in quite a while. Let's see.
Joyce got some fire recovery.
Yeah, it's Joyce, and she's going to have a new person to recovery. Yeah, those are always good episodes. Those are always real good episodes. You know, a lot of hope in those episodes. So don't miss that. And then Thursday, Nathan is going to be back resuming his normal hosting duties, talking about some historical perspective. I'm not really sure what he has in store, but he's got a lot of dates and years and that's something about illicit drugs.
Sounds right up his alley.
Yeah. So, all right. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, everyone. I'm Honesty Liller. I am the CEO of the McShin Foundation and a woman in long-term recovery. Since May 27, 2007, I have not used drugs or alcohol. Woo-hoo! Thank you so, so much to the Richmond Times-Dispatch and all of our voters for getting the Herd podcast. Those podcasts are amazing. Not only has it helped thousands upon thousands of people in their recovery, as well as family members, but it has helped me in my personal recovery. I get to listen to them now in my car through Spotify and iHeartRadio. And it's just really, really important for us to be innovative in the addiction field and the recovery community. So when COVID hit, we had to be innovative. You know, we really had to think of like, what can we do to reach people that cannot go to 12-step meetings, smart recovery, faith-based, whatever, that we're shutting down constantly. So we were innovative here at McShin. Let's start podcast. So with Todd, John, Alex, and some other staff, you know, we all just kind of jumped in who can do what. And with Todd's lead and John's lead, the podcasts have been amazing and we're still doing them today. So I want to thank you for all of your votes and all of your energy and all of your support of our mission of healing families and saving lives. Thanks.